We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So let's jump into our Wednesday night mailbag. I've got a couple of questions starred, and so we'll start with those, but get your questions in, and we will, I'll toss them up to Tom. He and I will toss them around. Football, basketball, non-sport related, whatever you got. Give us a little something. Hey, man, let's go. I'm telling you, I was there late tonight. But anyway, so give us some questions. Here we go. Let's... Benjamin has our first question. In the future, could you see Notre Dame changing up their football schedule to help maximize recruiting? Tom, I will let you lead off.
I have absolutely no idea, because how do you maximize recruiting through your schedule? You're tied into the ACC with at least five games a year. You're playing Navy every year. You're playing Stanford every year. You're playing USC every year. You've got to have a couple of those gimme home games that they have next season in Tennessee State and Central Michigan. There might be another one. There might be another one on there that I'm missing. Another bye
game. There's another gimme game in there as well. Yeah. I'm gonna look it up. Central Michigan?
Is Bowling Green on there?
Oh, see, now I got to look it up.
I know Central Michigan and Tennessee State. I don't know the third, but again, like, Notre Dame considers itself a national school when it comes to football scheduling. They'll go anywhere. They'll play anybody. I think that helps recruiting pretty darn well right there.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. I mean, I guess right now you'd call Navy kind of a bit of a layup, since they got a brand new coach and they haven't really been much of anything as far as competitive over the last few years. But you've got – so I'll roll through it here real quick. August 26th, Navy. September 2nd, Tennessee State. September 16th, Central Michigan. September 23rd, home against Ohio State. September 30th, on the road against Duke. October 7th, on the road against Louisville. October 14th, on the home against Southern Cal. October 28th, so there's a bye in there. Let's see, home against Pitt. Then you've got November 4th, on the road against Clemson. Then you get another bye, then home against Wake Forest, and then on the road to finish out the season against Stanford. So that is the schedule. And you know, as far as recruiting is concerned, I mean, if you look at their schedule, they're already a coast-to-coast schedule. I mean, right. They play in California. They play on the East Coast. They're in the ACC, obviously. You know, they're playing in Ireland, for goodness sake. So, I mean, they're playing worldwide. You know, there's logistic issues with, like, playing in SEC country, for example. Because then you look at you get into TV rights and you get into all of these different things that, you know, the average fan doesn't really think about when it comes to where you're going to play your home games and your away games and all of those different things. So, you know, this day and age with technology and the way things go, I don't know that you need to schedule games in fertile recruiting lands. It doesn't hurt, but I don't think you need to. All of Notre Dame's games are easily accessible, you know, for kids to watch, because they're either on ABC, ESPN, or NBC. So, or I guess one game will be on Peacock, but don't get me started on that. But they're, all the games are easily accessible. It's not like 1991 where you couldn't find the games except unless they were at home against, you know, on NBC, right? So games are much more easily accessible now. So I don't know that it matters quite as much.
It doesn't. I mean, Notre Dame is a national brand. You'd argue the top, one of the top five national brands in college football: Texas, Michigan, USC, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Notre Dame. They can go anywhere. They can play anybody, and it's not going to affect their recruiting. It's only going to help it because they're such a national school, and they recruit nationally. It's not like they have to go play a one-off game against Minnesota in U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis to help their Midwest recruiting. Like, if you want to go to Notre Dame and you have interest in Notre Dame, you're going to wind up watching the Irish wherever they're playing, whenever they're playing, and whoever they're playing.
Right. Could not agree more.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, well, thanks for the question. We got another one from Ben. He says, with the big push for a playoff run this year, what players on the Irish roster need to be breakout players for Notre Dame to win the title? And I assume he's meaning football here.
We're not talking basketball. Notre Dame's not winning any titles. And again, not to dampen anybody's enthusiasm for 2023, but I think they're still a step away from getting to title contenders, to getting to college football playoff contenders. I think when the field expands in 2024 and they go to a 12-team playoff, that it will help Notre Dame. But who needs to improve this year? You have to start at the quarterback position, because it's, you look at college football, everything, even football in general, everything is so geared to having an elite guy at that quarterback position. And if you don't, then you're just an average program, and we've seen that.
Yep, could not agree more. Obviously starts, and I don't know if it ends at the quarterback position, but it definitely starts at the quarterback position, because Notre Dame's been a quarterback away for quite a while, in my opinion. If we want to say, okay, which position needs to have a breakout situation other than quarterback, I think it needs to be, you know, you're going to need to get some elite play at one of the ends. You know, you're going to need to be able to put some pressure on the defensive line. No doubt about it. There's a lot of names down there. Who's going to step up and be those guys? I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I don't know. Defensive line is going to have to be big. I think somebody's going to have to step up big at linebacker, whether that's JD Bertrand takes a step, whether Prince Colley gets an opportunity. You know, what does it look like at linebacker? I think they need somebody at linebacker in order to be elite. I mean, we're talking about a Notre Dame to win the title. They don't have an elite defense right now. So the front seven is going to have a couple of guys step up in order to be elite. You're going to need to put some pressure on the quarterback, and you're going to need to make consistent tackles at the second level. So that's where I'm at there. As far as specific guys, we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's just way too early to know a specific guy who replaces Isaiah Foskey as your sack guy, who replaces Michael Mayer as your can't miss, gotta have target on offense. So you need to find guys like that and then continue to go and recruit and recruit and recruit and build the depth to where you can maybe challenge the Georgias and Ohio States and Alabamas and Michigans of the college football world.
Absolutely. We do have a super chat here from W118CMH. I'm sure that stands for something, but I'm not smart enough to figure it out. Thank you for the super chat. How different is this team, meaning the Hoops team, if Basile chooses Notre Dame instead of Virginia Tech, moving guys like Nate, Dane, et cetera, back to their normal position? I think it's big.
He was a guy that they looked at in the transfer portal. That would be Grant Basile, who was at Wright State last year, helped lead Wright State to the NCAA tournament. Basile looked at Notre Dame the same weekend as Marcus Hammond during the Blue Gold game weekend. Everything was right there. And again, it's not something that Notre Dame didn't do in trying to get a transfer big out of the transfer portal. Mike Bray showed him everything. Here's playing time. Here are minutes. Here's opportunity. For whatever reason, he thought he could do better at Virginia Tech. And you look at the right now, as we sit here on January 18th, the two most disappointing teams in the ACC are Notre Dame and Virginia Tech. So at Virginia Tech, he felt like he was in a better situation going to Blacksburg. Virginia Tech right now is 1-5 in the league. So maybe he wasn't the type of player that was a difference maker in the transfer portal, which I mean, when you get to the transfer portal, when you get to looking at guys that Notre Dame can actually get into school and add to that roster, it's such a crapshoot and it's such a small pool to choose from that you've got to be right and you've got to hit it. For whatever reason, maybe Grant Basile wasn't the guy that was going to fit at Notre Dame for whatever reason.
All right, I'm going to leave it at that because you know that subject way better than I do. So moving on to the next question from It Ain't Rocket Science. If Freeman wins one of these next wins a title in one of these next three seasons, like I think he will, basketball recruiting will experience an uptick in recruiting as a result as well, I hope. So do you think there's a correlation between the football team winning a national title and the basketball team upping its recruiting game is basically the question?
None.
Zero? Nothing?
Zero. That's all I got. Nothing. Like it doesn't matter what they do with football-wise. I mean, football helps to an extent with the visibility of the men's basketball program, but there was a time where Mike Bray would only host recruits on football weekends because they wanted to see the pageantry and the aura and everything else that goes along with having a home football game. A couple of years ago, he got away from that and started hosting recruits on non-football weekends. Guess who the one of the guys that committed on a non-football weekend was? JJ Starling. he came in on Labor Day weekend when Notre Dame was playing football down in Tallahassee, and he loved the campus. So I think it's a little overrated and a little too simplistic to say the success that Notre Dame football has a direct correlation and can boost the Notre Dame men's basketball program. Like Notre Dame men's basketball is its separate entity, and they're not really concerned, and football's not really concerned about how basketball's doing, and basketball's not that concerned about how football's doing.
Let me ask you a question. I don't know why this popped into my head while you were answering that question. So it's kind of a follow-up to this one. Do you think, and you can call me crazy, it wouldn't be the first time.
And it won't be. I won't just call you crazy, Vince. You know that.
I know that. And that's what I appreciate about you. So do you think part of like bringing kids in on football weekends before they had the renovated Rolfe Center and the whole thing was to almost like a head fake, like, hey, there's a lot going on here at the university, but we don't have great facilities. But, hey, check out football. And all that, but now that they've got Rolfe's, they don't really need all the extra fanfare. Does that have anything to do with it, you think?
Absolutely. Like, okay. Like, why don't you come look at what our campus is like when Notre Dame and Georgia are playing a night game at Notre Dame Stadium, and there's 80,000 people here, and game day's here, and look at what happens on a Saturday. And, oh, by the way, don't pay attention to that basement practice facility
right. called the
pit where they used to practice in. Now, there wasn't much to show them being basketball recruits during football weekends before Rolfs Hall and before the renovation of Purcell Pavilion. Now they believe they can stand, they can, the program can stand on its own merits of the renovated arena, the standalone practice facility, some of the all the bells and whistles that go with yeah. both those places, where it's like, yeah, football's good, but hey, look, we got some pretty good basketball stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it is such a night and day difference from what they have now to what they used to have. I mean, it is. Do they still compete with the other ACC schools out there from a facility standpoint with Rolfs?
It's hard because I think Rolfs is probably one of the best standalone practice facilities, not only in the league, but in the country.
Okay.
And in getting guys like Paul Atkinson from Yale a couple of years ago, in getting Marcus Hammond from right. Niagara. When Marcus Hammond and Paul Atkinson walked into Rolfs the first time, they said, wait, you mean I can come in here whenever I want and go make myself a smoothie at the smoothie station or go to the nutrition center and do this? And I got the weight room here and I got the locker room and the lounge area and all this. Like I can come in here whenever I want. Like, where do I sign up for that?
Yeah.
And I think to an extent, I think Mike Bray talked about it Tuesday, where he has said that he has spoiled his guys to an extent. I think Rolfs Hall has kind of spoiled the Notre Dame men's basketball program to where they had nothing for so long, and now they have everything.
Yeah.
That it's something where I don't know if they appreciate everything they have or everything they didn't have before they had Rolfs Hall.
That's actually a really good point. I never really thought of it that way. So now this is speculation. You speculated a little bit earlier. Notre Dame, do they have a package, facilities, the whole thing, that is attractive to a head coach? Because there's a lot going on at Notre Dame as far as who you can recruit, all of those things. Is it an attractive place for a basketball coach?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Depends on what type of basketball coach you're looking at. Okay. Like, you, if you have an egoless basketball coach, like Mike Bray has been for most of his 23 years,
sure.
Yeah, it's a good job. But if you have a basketball coach that comes in here and says, I want all the things and the little details that go into the football program, you're probably not going to be coaching at the University of Notre Dame. Because you have to understand that football is going to get a lot more than what the men's basketball program is going to get a lot more than what the women's basketball program is going to get, or the baseball program, or pick your program at Notre Dame. It takes a special type of coach and a special type of person with an ego and a vision and just a locked in mentality, a tunnel vision to say, I want to coach here and make this my program for reasons that are this, this, and this, and not because I want to make it the next Duke or the next Carolina. It's a really hard job, and yeah. It's not a job that somebody's going to just walk in off the street and do as well as Mike Bray for as long as Mike Bray did it, if you compare everything to football.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't go into it with that mentality. Completely agree with you on that. Yeah, absolutely. Got another men's basketball question here from Stymie. He says, Tom, this year being obvious, why does men's basketball struggle to draw fans even when they're competitive and winning. And I can attest to this because I got a cold call randomly yesterday for me to buy tickets to a men's basketball game, which I thought was funny. And, but yeah, I watched a little bit on TV the other night, saw a lot of highlights, obviously. Student section was pretty good. A lot of empty seats at the Florida State game, for sure.
I think, again, look at what draws on that campus.
Yeah.
And that's Saturday afternoons in the fall across the street. There's so much emphasis placed on football. And this is not necessarily a men's basketball issue. I think it's a university issue.
Yeah.
To where it's not marketed, it's not promoted, it's not celebrated, it's not really given as much attention as it should be.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, you know what? We got football, we got Marcus Freeman. We're gonna try to get back to the college football playoff. Basketball will just kind of sell itself, and if people are interested, they're gonna find their way there. That might work if you've got a new coach or you've got a program that's historically going to the NCAA tournament year after year after year. But when things tend to slide over there, winning, losing, fan attendance, it's hard to get it back and get it turned around. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the university has always put its 100% attention and focus and just spotlight on saying, how can we maximize what we do here with the men's basketball program? It's, you know what? If they're good, they're good. If they're not, when spring football start?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you make a good point because back in, you know, when they were doing the Elite Eights and things like that, Notre Dame basketball ticket was an easy thing to come by. I mean, that place was rocking when they would have home games, and it was fun to go to the Joyce and do everything and watch a game and all that. It's a little rough for these days because there just hasn't been that sustained success. And unfortunately, they need to be successful in order to fill that place up.
Well, people talk about, they've got to win. Okay. Well, what happened last year? They went 24-11. They went 15-5. Guess how many sellouts they had last year when they were making that run to winning NCAA tournament game twice for the first time since 2016. They had one sellout.
One.
That was a Duke game. So, I also think what works against this basketball program is there's no identity with the ACC. There's nobody in Elkhart, and there's nobody in Granger, and there's nobody in Niles or pick your town up in Michigan that wants to say, I want to venture out at 9 o'clock to go watch Wake Forest. Hey, the Demon Deacons are in town. There's no identity with the ACC. Now the ACC fits for what Notre Dame men's basketball is in 2023, but there was such an identity in the 70s and the early 80s with playing DePaul and Marquette and Dayton and IU and all teams that were close to campus. You can drive from Dayton. You can drive from Chicago and come in here. You can drive up from Milwaukee. There were so many Marquette fans in that building in December. Oh,
yes.
When Notre Dame and Marquette played, to where, because they've identified, hey, we're playing Notre Dame. That's in South Bend. People in the ACC and people around here don't identify outside of Carolina, Duke, maybe Virginia, sometimes Louisville, sometimes Syracuse. They have no desire to go see any other ACC team when they come to South Bend. And it was kind of like that in the Big East, where Notre Dame was a Midwestern school with an East Coast presence. Now they're a Midwest school with a Southeast presence. And there's just no connectivity to where fans are like, I'm invested in Notre Dame men's basketball because I know these guys that they're playing against.
From an attendance-only standpoint, would Notre Dame be better off in the Big Ten?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Agreed. I mean, you're looking at sellout after sellout after sellout. Michigan State, Michigan, Illinois, Purdue and Indiana speak for themselves. Ohio State, Northwestern, Wisconsin, which hasn't been to play in South Bend since like the 1950s. So from an attendance, from an interest, from an attention standpoint, Notre Dame would be best to join the Big Ten. But we know, Vince, come on. We've been around these parts too long.
Right.
That's never going to happen.
No, they just need to get more Big Ten teams on the schedule. I mean, if you just try looking for them for attendance purposes, I will say, because I was at the Michigan State game, and obviously that was where Notre Dame played out of their minds. that wasn't a sellout, but there was an awful lot of butts in the seats, and a lot of them were in green and white. No doubt about that.
Which is okay.
Yeah, which is fine.
That makes for good basketball, where there's
good atmosphere.
Yeah, the atmosphere is good. There's a back and forth. The fans are invested. You see, right. I mean, you don't see any fans wearing Wake Forest jerseys or Miami jerseys or Virginia Tech jerseys. But that's the trade-off, and that's the cost with playing in a league that's so far away from your campus.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to postseason voting for men's basketball, Notre Dame is in the same district basketball wise as all the Big Ten teams, and it's nearly impossible to get a Notre Dame player to make an all district team because all the people voting are voting for the Big Ten teams.
Sure.
They're voting for guys on Dayton. When Loyola Chicago were good, when they put guys people nationally forget that Notre Dame is in Indiana and they play in the ACC because it's so Big Ten centric here.
It just doesn't make sense. Like geographically, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, no, you're absolutely. This is a Big Ten footprint. No matter what anybody says, it's a Big Ten footprint. And that's why most people that don't understand the Notre Dame want them to join the Big Ten. I mean, because geographically it makes sense. And I get that argument, but there's everything else. But there's everything else. All right. Last question for the mailbag here, Tom. Another attendance question, but we're flipping across the street to football. True or false? Notre Dame's crowd will be raucous enough to give the Irish a home field advantage against Ohio State and USC in 23.
I go absolutely true, because if not this year, when? Like, seriously. You know what you know what Ohio State's going to bring. You know what USC did last November. I'm back in November, out in the Coliseum against Notre Dame. There should be no more bigger off the chain hook type of games come fall than the Ohio State game and the USC game. And oh, by the way, well, let's break news right now, Vince, and say I'm going out on a limb. Those are both going to be night games.
Yeah, I'm. Woo! Breaking news, everybody. Bum, 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 bum.
Blesses, baby.
I agree with you.
They're not kicking those bad boys off at noon. Those are 7:30 starts.
100% those are going to be 7:30. I don't care if it says TBA right now. Mm-hmm. October 14th and November 4th. I'm sorry. That's Clemson. So there it is. USC. October 14th and Ohio State is September 23rd.
Yep.
Those are both going to be night games. No doubt about it, which is, you know, what it is, what it is. I will say the crowd at Clemson this year, for the Clemson game at home, it's a great crowd. I mean, they deserved it. Notre Dame played really, really well, probably the best game that they played all season, but it was a really good crowd. I mean, I purposely went outside to the deck to hear what the crowd was like at the beginning of the game. And it was a good crowd. I was impressed. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
And no question, Ohio State will be huge, because that's the first of two. And if they beat Ohio State, then that slingshots them in October. And like I said, USC, Notre Dame, as much rivalry as it is right now, and with USC having beaten Notre Dame back in the Coliseum in Los Angeles in November.
Yeah.
If those aren't the best home games of the year, what are you doing, Notre Dame fans? What are you waiting for?
Seriously. What are you waiting for? Don't sell your tickets, especially to Ohio State fans, okay? Hold on to your tickets. Be a good season ticket holder. Go to that game and cheer on the Irish. Actually, stand up, you know, the whole thing. Cheer on the Irish. All right, anyway, get off my attendance soapbox. So that's going to do it for the mailbag. We have one more segment, so don't leave yet. We still have our final segment like we always do. But before you do, make sure you hit that like button, the subscribe button, all that fun stuff. And we'd really appreciate that.